Well, what a weekend it could be for the Blue Army over the Cox Plate Carnival. Ingratiating takes his place in the Group 1 million dollar Manicato on Friday night, and then Animo, the 3-year-old, looking to create history and become the first 3-year-old to complete the Caulfield Guineas Cox Plate double since 1984 in Red Anchor, and give Godolphin its first win in the great race. It's always great to catch up with James Cummings, who joins me on Racing Pulse this morning. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Very well indeed. Very excited this weekend. The Cox Plate, one of the greatest races. Do you remember watching your grandfather winning the Cox Plate?
You know, I've got pretty vague memories of the race from long ago, but I remember it like it was yesterday when So You Think won his first and then backed it up to winning second with the what was the perfect preparation. So it's amazing to think that this race has got that ability to find the best horse, and that's one of the great attractions of the Cox Plate, to be the Weight for Age Championship of Australasia.
The honour roll is incredible, and Animo would sit very comfortably amongst those stars if he can win a Cox Plate. How has he progressed from the Caulfield Guineas in between?
Yeah, the boys are delighted with him. He's had the right preparation now. It wasn't smooth sailing in the beginning, and a month out from his first up run to have to overcome a virus was far from ideal, but it did show some of the class of the horse that he was able to shake that off in a very short amount of time, turn it around and get his preparation back on track. Now that he's had three very convincing runs as a spring 3-year-old after a galvanised 2-year-old campaign, he looks ready for the first time to step up against the older horses, and in the Cox Plate, in a high pressure environment, there's no harder race for him to need to be more ready than this race, and we think that we've got him very fit, very prepared, very well prepared, and in the position now to do his absolute best.
Well, he gets the feather weight of 49.5 kilos. What do you make of gate 10 of 10?
Well, look, he has drawn wide barriers in all of his Group 1 attempts outside of the mid draw and the size. Listen, it's not so bad compared to the wide draws and the Blue Diamond and the Slipper. I mean, they were really going to make things hard for this horse to win those races, and that's the way it unfolded. But it's not so bad. It's not so bad, you know, thinking about this race. We think that it gives him every opportunity to be ridden for his asset. And without giving that much away, I think it's clear that at the very least, Animo is the type of horse to let things unfold, and his best performances have been able to come from when jockeys have been able to ride him with that sort of confidence, and they've been, when jockeys have been as cool as the other side of the pillow, Animo's had the chance to do his best. And I think that that's the way it needs to unfold when you imagine Animo possibly winning this race, and other horses will be ridden to suit their attributes. So much more needs to be said about the barrier.
It's always a high-pressure race. Is that what Dominic Byrne and your form people are telling you about how you see the race unfolding?
Oh, yes, we do. We thought that there's clues that you can take from watching the Caulfield Stakes, for instance, and horses that might prefer to be ridden closer coming from that race. There's clues from the horse that was able to win at Saratoga, who connections wanted to have that horse closer in the run, but he, if it stayed a rest, got a little further back and in behind them. The horse from New Zealand has the ability to be right up on the speed, and you know, some fascination about, you know, even Gold Trip, who's, you know, he's got he got Arc Form Gold Trip from 12 months ago. You know, that's pretty interesting to bring to a Pops plate. So, now we think that, yeah, we think there's plenty of pressure here. There's plenty of pace that will be there to suit other horses. You know, we've heard it before in our own experience that horses, in order to beat Animo, have tried to bring him out of his comfort zone to take away his turn of foot. You know, so that's the wait for age style, and that's the type of thing we could imagine unfolding in the Cox Plate.
He looks like the 2000 is what he's after. Have you got any question marks about a high pressure 2040?
Well, look, he's out of an Oaks winner. He's bred to run a mile and a quarter. He's had the right preparation to run the journey, and I'm well aware that lots of Caulfield Guineas winners are well fancied in the Cox Plate, and they don't quite run up to the expectation when they get to the race. You know, perhaps for a number of reasons, and one of those might often be that their absolute very best run of the preparation might have, in hindsight, occurred on Caulfield Guineas Day. And one of the things that I like about Animo is that, to me, it seems like it's possible that we hadn't quite yet seen the best run from this horse, this preparation, and he's been able to win first up by a narrow margin. He chased hard, launched late, just missed second up in the Golden Rose on a railer's track, and he defeated Captivant by a neck in the Caulfield Guineas. Well, you know, as a two-year-old, he beat Captivant three lengths and easing down, probably eased down by at least two lengths conservatively in the size. So, you know, it's just that hint about the horse that he might have more to offer, and therefore, if we've got the chance to see it in the Cox Plate, you know, that's potentially going to be what it takes to mix it with the best of the best, Zaki and Very Elegant and Probabile, horses with international form like State of Rest. I mean, that's exciting. And even the well-represented Epsom Form with Dallasan and Mwanga. And Mwanga, who did battle not so long ago against Incentivize, who looks just about the best horse in Melbourne right now. So that's what it's going to take. There's no doubt about that. And we'd like to think that he's just got that little bit of edge up his sleeve, more to offer, and didn't leave it all there on the line in the Caulfield Guineas. So there's every reason for us to have some faith in him being up to it, but he's certainly got every opportunity to run the trip right out, particularly under the high pressure of the race.
Can he be the best horse you've trained at Godolphin?
I don't think that there's too much need for me at the moment to think about comparing them. You know, our jobs are in front of us, we've got to manage the horse's career. He's a dual Group 1 winner already as a spring 3-year-old, and it's, you know, not so easy to accomplish that with a well-bred colt. There's plenty trying it, and he's got his position assured on the roster at Darley, which is wonderful. You know, it's a huge result for the farm, and it's the absolute paramount thing with these male horses to be able to accomplish something, you know, to be able to accomplish that future for them. But I don't feel like being drawn into the comparison between he and others.
I'll ask you after 5:10 on Saturday then.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe you'll get me in a soft moment, but I think it's better avoided.
What about ingratiating the Manicato? Have you waved the magic wand and been able to turn around the situation that occurred at Flemington? Did you find a reason for that performance?
Look, there's not so much. One sole reason. There's lots of little things that can go into the performances on the day and with horses like these. I guess it's true that with colts in good races, lots of things need to line up, and it didn't quite happen for Ingratiating that day, and there were perhaps a few small reasons to come out of it. One thing I do know is that we had no firm plans with Ingratiating after that run, and so we put him in a holding pattern, I kept training him. I gave him a few. I gave him a couple of lung burners, and I was pleased with what I saw, providing we had confidence there was certainly nothing amiss with him. And an interesting thing happened at the same time on Monday, in that we weren't that happy with Paul Ellie. He just gave a couple of coughs and just didn't seem to be absolutely on his game. And we thought, well, there's no need rushing Paul Ellie this week when he's going to be perfectly suited in the Cornwall set weights against his own age. And it's something of a risk if we're not 100% happy with his horse going into it. Going into any race, let alone the Manicato. And in a very small amount of time soon after, Ingratiating came down and just caught everybody's attention with a beautiful piece of work. And it just struck us how obvious it was that Ingratiating should really be the one running in the Manicato, not least because he's just worked well, but also because the horse has been backed up 7 days later once in his life and went within a head of winning the Blue Diamond after going keen in the run and not having the best run in the race. So Ingratiating could well and truly get the wrap back on himself in the Manicato and find himself on the 7 day back up into the Coolmore and be back in the game, you know. And the Coolmore looks like, in our observation, it could easily be the race of the week in Cup Week, and it's a pretty important race for our colts. So that's the reason why Ingratiating finds himself in the Manicato on Friday night. And you could probably imagine that's also the reason, to answer your question, why we think the horse can actually turn around his below par performance in the Danehill, but put himself back in the game to achieve a Group 1 performance this spring carnival.
It's a very good push. So Ingratiating, a big chance there. Just quickly whipping through the other ones on Saturday. Luxburg run in the Crockett?
Well, look, I think that she has... she's closer to the end of her preparation to the start of it. She's only a relatively slender filly who has done pretty well, but just has not been able to land a blow in Melbourne. And look, at least she was able to turn around what was a really poor performance second up at Randwick much, much earlier on this campaign. We've just mucked around with the gear a little bit. I can imagine our jockey just wants to ride her a little bit more conservatively than he did last time. And I think she could run well. She's certainly in that type of race with a nice chance.
Is Ethelric able to win a Red Anchor, do you think?
Well, he's not badly treated here. I think the horse has been going well enough. There's no way he was going to run 7 furlongs without getting the absolute cutest run of all time. And unfortunately, the riding was probably on the wall from barrier 9 of 9 in the Caulfield Guineas Prelude, but, you know, of course, as it happens, he was worse in midfield and he was 4 deep on the turn. You know, I'd say the horse can run much, much better back to 6 furlongs, and he's going to get a nice, easy run throughout from the inside draw. The fence just wouldn't want to be off for that horse, and he'd be certainly a nice chance running on in this race.
You got Vianello on the backup, yeah, and gee, Heresy was just a nightmare watch. Lucky to stay on her feet in the 1,000 guineas. It looks a good race for her to bounce back in on Saturday.
Yeah, this is an interesting race. I didn't accept with these two fillies initially, and in Melbourne the acceptances remain open when the race clubs they note that there's not many acceptors in there, and they give us a second crack at it. And I was looking at horses in the stables at the time, and the offers called, and I didn't really want to draw my attention away. So I said, "Look, put them in, and we'll have a look at the race." And we're still doing that. There's an extra horse that was thrown in later on called Fortunate Kiss that bolstered the strength of the race from the time that we were told that it didn't come up particularly strong for a $300,000 Group 2. I must say, Vianello is less likely to back up than Heresy, because she's she seemed to have, she seemed to, you know, perhaps not be, she put, certainly put more into her run the week before, whereas Heresy just had, you know, as you said, a horror watch, never got a crack at them. Ollie looked after her in the last furlong and was, you know, I've got horses that barrier trial and have harder runs than Heresy. Unfortunately, it happened to be in $1 million Group 1. And Ollie was pretty bullish about giving this good consideration because the horse could get up and win this race. And Ollie felt like there was she was ready to run the mile right out for him. So some of those queries are still hanging over the horse's head. But I would say if she did run here, she would be a very, very good chance because it would indicate to you that we were very happy with her. And we've got her in a very winnable race.
Yeah, it looks a very winnable race. You've got best of days. You've got a heap of runners in Sydney. What's the Blue Army's best of the weekend?
Well, you know, we stay out of the best of the weekend, but we do like the fact that our best horse is in the best race, and so we're really pleased with Animo, and we think he's had the perfect preparation. Nothing's been complicated with the horse since a month before his first up run, and he absorbed that fast run Caulfield Guineas in good style, like the classy colt that he is. So let us hope that he's got the breeding and the class for the race, and things unfold nicely for him, and he gets the opportunity to show his absolute best.
As does the trainer. It'll be another remarkable story if you can win your first Cox Plate on Saturday. Best of luck, James.
Thanks, Michael.